this is Jonah Ray from Mystery Science Theater 3000, and you're listening to Too Much Scrolling, and I'll see you in the future.
Welcome to Too Much Scrolling for February 5th, 2019. I'm Steve Fodor.
And I'm Thought Out Chip Hessenblood.
We're just a couple of guys sitting around talking about things that are important to us. Hopefully they're important to you. And if you need more information, there's so many great ways to find more information. January has ended. It was the longest year ever.
It was a cold year, Steve.
Oh my.
It was a bitter year.
What a week. What a week the Midwest had. We had a full week off of school. We went to school on Tuesday. And well, that's it.
Exactly. And my car froze up for a week.
And your car was inaccessible. So we had to go on the internet last week. And this week we're here. And it's going to be 50 degrees.
Steve, I'm ready to celebrate. I'm ready for a big celebration.
It is today, Lunar New Year. So happy New Year to everybody that is out there who looks at the lunar calendar.
Steve, it's the year of the pig.
Yes.
It's Chinese New Year. So, what is it? A few billion of my favorite friends are out there celebrating, and we're going to have a great time.
Today is the day, man. Today is the day.
Film at 11.
Brings us to our film at 11, our movie of the week. You know, we were stuck inside for a week, and you would think I would watch a whole bunch of movies. I didn't watch a whole bunch of movies. The only thing I got to watch was a series called A Discovery of Witches. This is a TV show based on the All Souls trilogy by Deborah Harkness.
I think what's memorable about this is how you watched it, because you did not watch it on a network.
That's right. This is not on TV as such. This is streaming. This is available on two different streaming platforms right now. You can either subscribe to Shudder, which is the horror movie track of streaming, or the Sundance Now channel, which is the independent kind of filmmaking streaming service. And both of those you can get through Amazon Prime.
So A Discovery of Witches, mm-hmm, gives me a picture in my mind. Tell me about this series.
Okay, so it's about this witch who goes to college and finds out that her parents were both witches, and she gets trained in the ways of witchcraft. It's nothing like Harry Potter at all.
It doesn't sound like it. I mean, it sounds like these are witches, Steve.
Right. Not wizards.
Exactly.
That's a completely different sort of a thing.
I don't even know how you could draw such a parallel.
This is a very interesting story about growing up, about figuring out your heritage and what you're going to do about it. The witch in this story befriends a vampire, and the vampires and the witches are not supposed to mix in this world.
A sparkly vampire, Steve?
He is kind of a sparkly vampire, unfortunately, but he's all right. I was able to live with this particular vampire lore.
Did we have to choose teams?
Yeah, because there's a third team involved, and that's the demons. Because it turns out there's a secret society where the vampires, the witches, and the demons have been working together secretly for centuries.
A fraternity of sorts.
Uh-huh.
Well, Steve, skull and crossbones right there, baby.
Yeah, this was not bad. This was not great TV. This was very good. I look forward to reading the books. Deborah Harkness is a real good author, and I look forward to being able to go deeper into these characters. Obviously, in 8 episodes, this is kind of one of those British series. It's okay. A mini series, we would call it in the States. But 8 episodes, it tells the whole story. It's good. It's fine.
Is J.K. Rowling going to show up, or Voldemort? Is Voldemort going to be there, Steve?
No, there is no Voldemort character, but
yes,
the witch does have an aunt, and that aunt here is played by Alex Kingston.
Well, there you go.
And she does her American accent.
Of course.
No, I don't know why. I don't know why she chose to do an American accent. Obviously, the character is an American in the books, and they wanted to have that for the series as well. But every time she spoke, I was like, oh, Alex Kingston. And then she spoke, and I went, oh, Alex Kingston's doing an American accent. All right, that's fine. River Song is still a thing, and it's fine. You got a chance to see a couple of documentaries. The first one is Suzanne Bartsch on Top. Tell us about that one.
In fact, Steve, both that I saw actually are connected of sorts.
Okay.
They both take place. New York City is sort of the heart of each of them. And the first one is about a person, Susan Bartsch, who throws parties. And she throws the parties that everybody wants to be invited to. And the story, in my opinion, is a story of how a person created a career like that. So this is about the underworld. This is certainly about...
Now, when you say underworld, you're not talking about witches and vampires. You're talking about the underbelly of New York City.
Correct. Uh-huh. Sort of the area that the Andy Warhols would be.
Gotcha.
And sort of the art community. And there was a whole group of people that she would kind of attract. And they were the performers in this. And they all had fancy costumes and fancy makeup. And truly, you know, these are the unique souls of the world. I mean, truly almost circus-like.
Hmm.
And when you go, you are kind of excited and shocked to be there. And, yeah, lots of gender-altering sort of situations and all sorts of uniqueness.
Okay.
So this is okay. I didn't mind this at all.
Okay.
It is. It shows me that a person with enough, you know, insight can create a career and create a, you know, enough of a career and enough of an impact that we want to create a movie about this person. So I thought it was interesting. The second one I got to see was Larger Than Life, the Kevin, was it O'Conn?
O'Conn. The trailer, nobody knows how to say this guy's name. He's a French guy from Louisiana, so he's got a accent that is just out there.
Well, Steve, the Arcadians, when it went down there, and of course it's a very French area. French area, Steve, with all the foods.
Oh, here we go.
All right, so anyway, he grew up in Lafayette, Louisiana.
Uh-huh.
So just a regular town, city. In Louisiana. He was adopted, and he had three other siblings. So there's four of them in the house. His brother, who shared a room with him, of course, had posters of motorcycles and heavy metal bands.
Like most kids do at that age, yeah.
And Kevin, of course, chose the other path. And, of course, he had Barbra Streisand albums and Barbra Streisand pictures all over his wall.
Okay.
Kevin's about 6'1 when he entered New York City. He was 6'9 when he passed away.
Wow, that is a tall man right there.
Yes, and he was discovered, besides his love of Barbra Streisand, was because he enjoyed makeup and looking at makeup. He knew all the models of the time.
Uh-huh.
He knew all of the tricks of the industry as far as putting makeup on. Worked at some dress store at the mall. Steve, of course he did. And his father, you know, thought he was a total failure because, you know, he wanted to play baseball and stuff like that.
But Kevin wound up being pretty successful in that field of makeup design.
And in fact, I think that's the story, yeah. Is that this guy who was in the middle of this regular city, in the middle of the regular America, ran into one person who was from New York City, who was his connection to get up to New York. And they just happened to walk into the fashion magazine area of some publisher.
Uh-huh.
And he happened to bring his portfolio of stuff. And he happened to charm enough people to be able to get someone to look at his portfolio,
mm-hmm.
to have him get put into a shot. And his style became the style of the 80s.
Wow.
And he became, in his own right, so he's working with all the great models of the era, Cindy Crawford and everybody else. He became a superstar in his own right. And he sort of found his way. I mean, he would invite his parents up and his siblings up and his sisters up, who he had put makeup on his whole life. And they got to experience this unique world,
mm-hmm.
with him. And he got to be the person that he is. This is a story of a person who didn't quite fit in, but was confident enough to learn a skill. And I would say that any kid out there, if you have a desire, it doesn't have to be makeup. It could be anything, programming, whatever you want to, you know, it could be.
Filmmaking,
whatever it is.
Find your joy.
It's the time in life, mm-hmm. where you have cheap time. Go out there and just learn your craft.
Study. Study the heck out of it. Figure out how it works and figure out how you can put your particular stamp on it.
And if you, for some reason, get involved in something, you dislike it,
mm-hmm.
just go back and find something else that you, you know, you got plenty of time to do something else.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin found his passion. He really did change the industry. He wrote books and showed people how to do what he does.
And the big thing that was featured in the trailer was he was changing people's eyebrows. He was the guy...
That's one of the stories.
Who
is that he ended up plucking Sidney Crawford's eyebrows.
Mm-hmm.
And she was scheduled to shoot the next day. And they were very upset with him. So upset about it. And it just happened to hit. And then everybody did it. So my point is that sometimes you take chances. Sometimes they work out real well,
yeah.
and sometimes they don't.
Right.
But I would say that both of these movies have a relationship. In fact, they're unique people in the world. And allowing them to enjoy and explore themselves means that you can go out and explore yourself, too.
Mm-hmm.
And find your passion. There's a good way of saying that.
That's I love a good biography telling a story about a person, a character like these two who found their way and being able to live that story through this biography, this documentary, and then to make your choices about who you are.
And not to be too Pollyanna about it, but you know, you're also a product of those times. Those times he was True. Discriminated against. There was a lot going on. There's a lot of back stuff going on for both of these movies, and you get to learn a little bit about that era, and you can realize just what a better time it is now and how much farther we have to go to allow people to explore and live their lives as they would like to live. Anyway, let's stop with that. Let's talk about the movies that are coming out this week, Steve.
There's one movie coming out this week, Chip, and there's...
No. There's more than one.
There's one movie, and all the rest of these, I don't know what they are, but the movie that's coming out this week is the Lego Movie 2. The second part, the sequel to the Lego Movie from 5 years ago, is finally here. I'm so excited about this movie, Chip.
Well, Steve, I did listen to the hit song that will come from this.
Yeah.
Actually, it's not, in my opinion, as good as Everything Is Awesome.
Everything Is Awesome is absolutely perfect. There's,
but I can promise you that song will probably get stuck inside your head.
It's pretty catchy.
Yes.
This, I look forward to this. I have high expectations. I loved the Lego Movie. I loved every moment of it. I loved the dialogue, the detail in every shot of every frame of the Lego Movie. I have very high expectations for what Lego Movie 2 is going to bring us.
Steve, all I know is Chris Pratt will be there.
That's enough.
And he'll be very happy about it through the whole movie.
Elizabeth Banks. Okay, you're just naming things that make me joyous to watch this movie. I look forward to that one big time. There's other movies on your list, though, Chip.
There are other movies, oh. Steve. Steve, not everyone will go see the Lego Movie 2. Some people will have to go see, you know, remakes of movies.
Yes. The reboot of What Women Want from 2000 is coming out this week. It's called What Men Want.
Well, there's high expectations for this, Steve.
Are there?
I think it's going to be. It'll be playing right in the theater next to the Lego Movie. So,
yeah.
What we can say?
Drop the kids off at the Lego Movie and go watch that one.
No.
Go to the Lego Movie.
There's just be a theater there, Steve.
Yeah.
It'll just be playing this.
I have no expectations for this one. Maybe it's a good movie. What Women Want was not a great movie 18 years ago. I don't know why. Why they feel the need to reboot it, but it's fine. Thank goodness, there's a Liam Neeson thriller about his kid being in trouble and he has to go out and help.
Steve, he has a certain set of skills.
Oh, yes, you're right. In this movie, he drives a snowplow.
It's called Cold Pursuit.
Cold Pursuit is the name of this movie.
And he's got a certain set of skills.
Uh-huh.
So, obviously...
It's about a snowplow driver.
Steve, his midichlorian count is very, very high.
Yes.
And he could be the chosen one.
Uh-huh. He spends a lot of time on the phone in the trailer.
And what we learned is that heroin is not a drug to take.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that is for sure. This is about the drug problem.
There's a death.
Uh-huh.
He has a certain set of skills.
He's going to go out and avenge his...
And the people that he's going to fight all have... You know,
code names. Yes.
So there you go, Steve.
It seems like Liam Neeson is stuck in a loop. He's been making the same movie over and over and over again since Taken.
Well,
the commuter. The commuter, right?
This is Taken Cold Pursuit, isn't it?
This is Taken 15 Cold Pursuit.
So you got that going for you.
Yep. There is a horror movie called The Prodigy. This is the story of a young son who has some disturbing behavior, and the mother is very concerned.
Is this called Teenage Years?
This is The Prodigy, the teenage years. Yes, this is
The Prodigy.
This is not my genre. I'm sure that a lot of people love this kind of movie. Good. It looks fun enough. There is a movie called Everybody Knows. This is a Spanish woman living in Buenos Aires who then...
I noticed the accent, Steve.
Yeah, thank you very much.
You're listening to NPR. It's really paid off.
That's right. Then she goes back to her hometown in Madrid, and she has a family drama going on with all sorts of secrets that are not very clearly spelled out in the trailer.
Steve, this must be a European film because I can...
Yeah.
We can't figure out what the story's about. Although we know it's got Penelope Cruz.
Yeah. Yes. That's enough. That's all you really need to know. Penelope Cruz is going to be on screen, and that's good enough.
So if you want to go see Penelope Cruz after you see the Lego movie, I mean, this is right there.
There you go. There is another film called Under the Eiffel Tower. This is a very silly concept. An older man in the middle of a midlife crisis goes on vacation with his best friend's family.
And proposes to their daughter.
And proposes to the daughter.
So my initial viewing of the trailer of this said they miscast this gentleman. It should have been Chris Elliott.
Just make it a comedy. This is just screwball.
In fact, I just thought about it. They don't even have to have Chris Elliott. They can just have him on a green screen and just put him in these parts. And just have him be totally divorced. That would be Woogie and Something About Mary, if you can't remember this gentleman.
Yeah.
Or the gentleman who lived underneath David Letterman's set for many, many years.
You want to buy a monkey? Sorry, all I can think of is Cabin Boy. When you say Chris Elliott, that's all I can think of. Under the Eiffel Tower, movie.
Well, it looks like it's ready for Riff Track, Steve.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. Speaking of which,
Steve, you're saying there's only one movie out this week.
Yes.
And if I'm going to say there's one movie, then this is the movie.
You found a movie called The Man Who Killed Hitler and Then the Bigfoot. That is the title of this film that you've brought to us today.
Steve, we all wondered what happened to Sam Elliott after Roadhouse. And this must be it.
This features an elderly Sam Elliott in an action role, killing Hitler, having all sorts of other adventures that culminate in he is recruited to kill Bigfoot, because of course Bigfoot is the carrier of the world's deadliest flu.
Steve, Ron Livingston is starring in this. For those who do not know, he was the star of Office, The Office.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I just want to point out that he was wearing one piece of flair as his part. He was wearing an American flag.
Because he's got a dramatic role here.
He does.
He
does.
The Man Who Killed Hitler and Then the Bigfoot. There's your film.
Steve, I will see this film.
Really?
It's got Sam Elliott, Steve.
It does. You are right. Sam Elliott is an American treasure, and Ron Livingston is not far behind.
And my favorite part is there's all the quotes throughout the entire trailer just tell you how, you know, important this film is. So anyway, after seeing
we'll
the Lego movie
that one
2,
out.
This is the one to see.
Okay. Sure. Book it. Brings us to our book it, our book of the week. You know, sometimes I read the latest books that just come out, and sometimes I have to go back and reread some of the classics. This week, since we were out of school for so long, I decided that I needed to refresh my memory with a book that I read probably in the early 80s, but it was actually published in 1970. This is called Being There, written by Jerzy Kosinski.
So you read this as a teen?
Yes.
And now you're reading it through the more mature eyes.
Yes. Well, my perspective has certainly changed in the last 30 years.
So tell me about what this book is about, Being There.
Being There is the story of a unsuspecting character named Chance, who is a gardener in a rich person's home, and the rich guy passes away. And
well, you got me there, Steve.
It was so far so good. And Chance has never been outside the walls of this house. He's the gardener. He goes to this walled garden and tends the garden, and he is fed his meals by the staff of the house. And when the master of the house passes away, the lawyers come in and say, we have no record of a gardener ever working here. Can you prove that you live here, that you've worked here? And he says, no, I don't have a driver's license. I don't have any kind of ID. I've never, you know, had any kind of paperwork. I was born here in this house.
But he also has special needs.
He has a perspective that is very different from the average perspective. We would probably call it autism. This is probably okay. On the autism spectrum.
Okay.
But in the 1970s, we really didn't have the right words for this different kind of viewpoint.
And we should probably spend a moment, and we should judge people from that era for not having a word. I mean, let's be honest.
That's where we're at, isn't it? Yeah. Isn't that where we're at in 2019? Oh, you did this 30 years ago.
How dare you?
How dare you? We are going to remove you from your job because you said something or did something 30 years ago.
Well, maybe maybe there are some things you did back then.
There are some things.
Maybe if you lived in the Commonwealth of Virginia, maybe you did something.
There are some things that certainly maybe you haven't changed your perspective in the last 30 years. But if you have, if you've changed, then maybe we shouldn't remove. We've gotten really into that.
Yes, we have. Let's get back to our book.
Yes.
Our book, our gentleman who grew up in this place,
mm-hmm.
And had to basically leave this home, that the only home he has ever known,
mm-hmm.
Immediately walks out. Does anything happen to him?
He gets hit by a car almost immediately because, of course, he's never been outside of this home. He doesn't know how to operate on the streets of New York.
Well, that sounds like a twist, Steve.
It is, and the even deeper twist, the woman whose car it is another rich person who owns another mansion, and she immediately says, you need to come with me. I will take care of you. We have this home. It's all set up as a hospital because my husband is dying. Come with me and I'll take care of you. And Chance doesn't know any better. He says, okay, somebody's here to take care of me. So he goes with them. She asks him, what's your name? And he says, I'm Chance, the gardener. And she mishears him and says, oh, Chauncey Gardner? And Chance, who's been raised on television, this is a statement about the 1970s and television, he notices, oh, that's a different name from what I usually use. That must be how it works on television. I've seen the stars of my TV shows, and they have one name, and then their characters have a different name. This must be my new name.
His real name.
And he just goes with it, that now his name is Chauncey instead of Chance.
Chauncey Gardner.
Of course, the twist then, the third twist or fourth twist, I don't even know how many twists we're on now, the rich guy that he goes to the home is having a meeting with the president. And the president, of course,
of the United States, Steve.
That one, yes, the president of the United States. He has this meeting, and Chauncey says wonderful things about the garden, about how spring is going to bloom soon, and life is like a garden. And the president goes, wow, that is in-depth knowledge about our financial state. I'm going to quote you in my speech tonight.
I would just say, life is like a box of chocolates.
This is, in my opinion, this is very much the Forrest Gump before Forrest Gump.
Is it really?
1970, being there, was that same idea of that guy who accidentally winds up being the most important guy in a huge circle without actually understanding what he is saying. And everybody else just goes to some sort of projection of their own thinking. That's one of the themes here of being okay. There, is you and I don't listen very well.
Did you say something, Steve?
I know.
Okay.
Thanks, Chip. Welcome to Too Much Scrolling. You and I, we don't listen nearly as well as we should. We perceive from our own perspective, and we project our ideas onto other people.
All right, so this eventually, this book gets turned into a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Is it like Forrest Gump, the movie?
It is very similar to Forrest Gump.
Is it really?
It is not nearly as funny. Okay. Forrest Gump was not exactly a comedy. There were some very funny things that happened in Forrest Gump.
And that's just because he was kind of clueless of the seriousness going around him.
And same thing happens in Being There. This was a movie in 1979. Peter Sellers plays Chauncey in the movie. And Peter Sellers was a fantastic comedic actor. Mm-hmm. And this is not a comedy, but some very funny things happen in this story. I love that movie. I love just about anything Peter Sellers put out.
And this is not a long book.
This is a novella.
Okay. And so would you recommend this to our listeners?
I absolutely do. This is one of my maybe top 20 books of all time. I love the idea of perspective. I talk about this all the time. How you perceive the world, the reality versus the fantasy. Chance watches TV.
Okay.
He is in this fantasy world. When he actually goes into reality outside of the house, he doesn't know quite how to handle it. He looks to his memories of what he remembers from television because that's how he relates to people.
Okay.
And life is a state of mind is one of my favorite quotes from this book. The idea that all of these things are happening in your mind, and it's how you react, it's how you perceive and how you project your perceptions onto other people. That's the big theme of Being There. I love this book.
And that's all you have to say about that.
It is very Forrest Gump. If you enjoyed Forrest Gump, you should really find a copy of Being There from 1979 with Peter Sellers or the book version from 1970. I highly suggest this one. It's one of those books that formed who I am as a very young person.
Okay.
So if you're interested, you can find it on our Amazon store, amazon.toomuchscrolling.com.
Scroll with it.
Brings us to our scroll with it. There's a couple of things happening in the world. Let's talk about almost none of them. Actually, this time we're actually going to delve into some of the scary things that are happening in the world this week.
News of the week, Steve.
Uh-huh. Apple FaceTime had a real problem, a real bug that happened this week.
Yeah, it was a bug. It sounds like it was a software bug. If you use FaceTime, and I use FaceTime quite a bit, you have the ability to listen in to the conversation before it actually connected.
Yeah, the latest version of FaceTime allows you to preview an incoming caller before you answer the call. Mm-hmm. But this bug worked in reverse, where if you called somebody on FaceTime, you could hear what was happening in their location before they accepted the call.
And what's so amazing about this is that Apple many times has been one of the more careful companies as far as dealing with things like that.
Mm-hmm.
What it shows is that all of the tech companies, as wonderful as they are, have this privacy issue kind of happens once in a while.
Yeah, we have some questions about privacy with all of these companies, and the idea of how anonymous we really are was the first episode of Too Much Scrolling 5 years ago. I don't know if you remember that.
I don't remember.
That was the topic that we talked about. You are not as anonymous as you think you are was the title.
You are a creature of habit, and somehow we can predict your habits.
And using these sensors that we've placed all around the world, we know a lot about you, and we hope that these ideas are not going to be used for nefarious reasons.
I don't think that any of the employees are particularly sitting down going, you know, they're Dr. Evil and they're like, oh, but I think that what they may not do is from from high up, recognize some of the decisions they make could be turned and twisted that way. And that's where I think it comes in. I don't think ultimately the intention is there, but they're looking to monetize it. And as soon as they look to monetize it, all those privacy things that were so important that they sold you that, oh, we would never do that, well, immediately go out the door because they need the revenue to keep going.
And it might not be they. Maybe the company... Well, it's they. It's always they. It's them. What happens when the company switches? What happens when that company goes bankrupt and sells to another company? Or that data gets sold to another company? That's where the problems of this idea of privacy come in.
So let's go into Facebook. It looks like that it was discovered that they were paying underage kids, kids less than 18 years old, to basically track them.
They were tracking all of their data usage. They were tracking everything about their particular phone and their movements, and they were paying them $20.
So, Steve, let's get down to the brass of this. Steve, can children sign contracts?
No, they cannot.
So, but somehow this was... allowed. And just so we don't just pick on Facebook, Apple did something similar. And they both stopped doing it. But the reality was, Facebook needs data, Apple needs data, Google needs data.
And that's the question.
And you know, how anonymous is it when you're paying someone directly? Is it anonymous? But on that same note, it's really frightening, at least. Yeah. It is very Big Brother-ish, especially when there's some news that came out this week about how China has been using data on their population. And it truly is very 1984-ish. So once again, I don't think anybody's sitting down and being Dr. Evil.
I think all of these companies are trying to improve our lives. They are really truly trying to make a better world through this technology. But again, the nefarious nature of what could happen and the bugs that do happen and could make these things much more malicious is frightening.
All right, so Apple made a couple moves this week against Facebook and Google, basically exerting their power.
Yeah, based on these stories of this extra software that Facebook and Google has also been doing the same thing, paying $20 to the kids to get all their data. There was a understanding that Apple had that said, we will control the software. You can't sideload software. So when Facebook and Google were both found to be sideloading software onto iOS devices, Apple shut down their enterprise certificates.
And that is a fascinating power play. And what is so fascinating is it shows how vulnerable even the most powerful companies can be.
Because when these certificates were pulled, the Facebook employees were no longer able to access their own internal Facebook apps on their iOS devices.
And what that says is that there's going to be blowback from this.
I don't disagree with you on
and
that.
Apple flexing their muscle the way they did. Because they basically turned it off for, what is it, for a day?
It was only for a day.
Okay.
But that day, it made headlines.
Exactly. Especially if you are Facebook and you recognize how vulnerable you are.
Because they are dependent upon Google and Apple. Because Facebook isn't making their own phones. They don't have their own devices.
And they've got enough resources to create their own stuff.
They've tried.
Well, I mean, the deal is that they can fire it up for their side of the business. The point is that these companies are all competing with each other. They all need each other. And if you are a company, and your company could be, you name it, Ford, GM, Kraft, you know, Sears, whoever your company is, the federal government, you are all vulnerable to the whims of a company.
Because that interdependency between the federal government and iOS, the federal government and Google, all of these groups are very interdependent.
They are. And the deal is that who owns that information, who has the right to shut it off, and they start making power plays against each other, all of a sudden, that type of joint servicing stops.
That trust that is built up between those companies is at least bending here.
Challenging.
I don't know if it's broken, but I agree with you that Apple is going to face a problem here.
There's going to be blowback. I think this move, while justified, is going to have ramifications.
Because Apple has always said that they are the company that is concerned about privacy. That Tim Cook has come out and said, you are the product for every other company except Apple. Mm-hmm. We will not sell your data. We are keeping your data private as much as we possibly can. And they're not going to allow these other companies to do this.
Sure. So they're basically, with the FaceTime challenge and with this situation, you know, things happen.
Right.
They made a power play here. But I think what we're realizing is if Apple is vulnerable, everybody is vulnerable.
That's absolutely the takeaway from this week.
All right. So there you go, everyone. There's your little spot of sunshine.
There you go. First we get frozen. It was so cold. How cold was it? It was so cold that the snowmen were coming in to warm up. And now we can't trust Apple, Facebook, Google. Who can we trust?
Steve, we can always trust too much scrolling.
That's it. We're here for you. We're here. We have all of the information. I don't know, Chip. I think we have enough information to survive another week. What do you think?
Only if we can come back next, Steve. By the way, we should probably go ahead and announce who the Super Bowl champion was.
Denver Broncos.
So there you go. Congratulations.
Atlanta Falcons.
Congratulations to the Denver Broncos. They didn't play in the game, but somehow they won.
that's not the right two teams. I'm sure that the team that won was very deserving. And
they played the greatest game ever, Steve.
Oh, I'm sure. Oh, my goodness. Remember that one play with that guy?
Where that thing happened? It was incredible.
Oh, I'm so glad that we record this on Tuesday morning at 3 a.m. so that we can report to you the up-to-date what's happening in sports.
Oh, that was exciting.
Good job. Good job, your team name here.
Only if we can come back next week, Steve.
That's right. If you need more information, give us a call or a text. Our phone number is 805-4104-TMS. Our website is TooMuchScrolling.com. Our email is TooMuchScrolling@gmail.com. We're on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. We're on iTunes and Stitcher and TuneIn Radio. And yes, kids, yes, we are on Spotify. I want to thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
And I'm Thought Out Chip Essenflow.
See you in the future.